认识现代神学第七讲第二章后半章的巴特对他自己后来的神学跟其他自由派神学家的影响的第二方面。第一方面，巴特是 New Modernism 新的自由派，因为他不接受圣经的无误，所以他是一个自然主义或者自由派的神学家。第二点呢，说到他的启示观绝对的是主观的。我们继续。 The difference between the Bible as merely the Bible and the Bible as the word of God becomes man's reaction to that book. 圣经仅仅是圣经和圣经是神的话之间的不同都在于人对这本书的反应。 Moreover, 不但如此， Should man with a leap of faith hear that voice of God speaking through the token, man can still not know God as he is. 就算当人借着信心的跳跃听得到上帝的声音透过这个记号，圣经这个记号说话的时候，人仍然不能够按照上帝本身如何来认识他。 Man cannot know God as God is. We can know him only through the paradoxes of dialectic. 我们只能够透过辩证的各种吊诡来认识他而已。就是上帝的启示完全是主观的，人不能够完整的清楚的认识神。 Number three, 第三方面的影响。 The end result of Barth's concept of dialectic, 巴特的辩证的概念最后的结果就是 is to destroy the concept of truth, 就是毁掉真理这个概念。And with it, the gospel of Christianity. 同时呢，就毁掉基督教的福音。If all non-paradoxical mediation, 假如所有非吊诡性的调解 or historical communication, 所有历史上的传递 or direct experiences of God, 所有对上帝的直接的经验 fit in with the pagan but not with a Christian concept of God, 都是一个异教的而不是基督教的上帝观里面的事物。那是巴特的看法。 How can we either approach truth or possess the truth in any temporal and outward form? 那么我们怎么可能在任何时间里或者一个外在的形式，我们怎么可能靠近真理或者是拥有真理的呢？ How can we, in the same sense, either approach the gospel or possess the gospel in any way? 我们如何在同一个意义上靠近福音或者在任何意义上拥有福音呢？ The dialectical method can approach the gospel truth. It cannot convey that truth. 辩证法只能够靠近福音真理，它不能传递福音真理。 Number four, 第四方面的影响。 In the same way as Barth's dialectical method is his emphasis on God as the holy other makes God, strictly speaking, indescribable. 正如巴特的辩证法一样，他对上帝是全然他者的坚持呢，就严格上来说，让上帝是无法被形容的。Since God is not an object of time and space. 上帝既然不是时空世界里一个的客体，一个的物件。Since God is the unknown, to use the language of Kierkegaard, 既然上帝是正如契诃伯所说的那位不能被认识者。Since inscrutability, hiddenness, belongs to the nature of him who is called God.
既然不能被测度，隐藏性属于那位被称为上帝那一位的本质。
Man cannot know him directly. 人不能直接认识他。In fact, as Van Til has asked repeatedly,
就正如范泰尔多次的询问，事实上 How can man know him at all?
人们怎么能够认识上帝呢？
Number five, 第五最后一方面的影响。
Barth's view of history underlines much of contemporary theology.
巴特的历史观都勾画出当代神学很多方面的想法。
He finds little of value in the resurrection as an event in what he has called history.
他认为耶稣的复活作为 history 一般历史里的一个事件是没有什么价值的。
In that realm of reality, the newspaper and television referred to as the daily news,
就是报纸和电视称为今天新闻的那个现实世界里是没有什么价值的。
It possesses its most real significance in the realm of Geschichte.
耶稣的复活最真实的重要性是在那个超历史或者原始历史的范围里面。
The realm where man confronts the existential reality of his world in terms of himself.
在这个范围里面，人根据他自己来面对他的世界的存在现实
existential reality. The realm of the person-to-person relationship
就是那个位格与位格之间的关系的范围里。
Here is a fatal flaw in his view of history.
这个是巴特的历史观里面的致命的错误。
It makes problematic the genuine historicity of the redemptive work of Christ as a foundation for Christianity.
耶稣基督的救赎大功是基督教的基础。那么巴特的历史观就让这个基督的复活或基督的救赎大功的真正的历史性成为一个不能解决的问题了。
In the spirit of Nietzsche and Overbeck,
他根据尼采和 Overbeck 的精神呢，
It cuts Christianity from history,
就把基督教信仰与历史切开了。
And in so doing, destroys the basis for Christianity.
这样做的时候，他就毁了基督教的基础。
To be sure, Barth's purpose in this was to depose the historical method of liberalism from its sovereignty in New Testament study.
不错，巴特这样做的时候，他的目的就是要把自由派神学的历史性研经法从他垄断新约研究的地位上扯下来。
But in doing so, 但是他这样做的时候， he also deposed Christianity from its place in history.
他也把基督教从他在历史的地位也扯下来了。
The history of contemporary theology repeats one or more of Barth's failures time and time again.
当代就是二十世纪的神学历史呢，一次再次重复巴特的某一方面或者几方面的失败。
Barth could not adequately correct them himself.
巴特不能够，他也没有足够的资源来做自我纠正， for his basically enlightenment, man-centered approach has had no radically biblical emendation.
因为他基本上属于启蒙运动的方法，他基本上以人为中心的方法，没有让圣经来彻底的修改过。
End of chapter 2. 第二章结束。
Chapter 3. 第三章。Neo-Orthodoxy. 新正统派的神学。
Calvert had unleashed a theological revolution with his work on Romans.
巴特借着他的罗马人书注释呢，就释放了一个神学革命。
In the years that followed,
其后的几年里， the revolution was refined and enlarged. 这个革命就更为细腻，更加的扩大。
A movement took place often called Neo-Orthodoxy.
一个常常被称为新正统派的运动兴起了。
Which found expression in the writings of others beside Bart.
这个运动的代表著作包括巴特以外其他的神学家。
Emil Brunner, 1889-1966.
布伦纳1889-1966.
布伦纳是 Brunner. Was perhaps the most widely known member of the new school outside of Barth.
可能是在巴特以外这个学派的最出名的成员。
It even acted as a refining fire.
它甚至乎好像一个炼金的火一样
and purged away the glossy optimism of liberals, like Reinhold Niebuhr, 1892-1971.
把好像尼布尔1892-1971年这种的自由派神学家的乐观主义把它炼尽了。
Barth's own writing did not remain without refinement in the years that followed 1921.
在1921年之后呢，巴特自己的著作也有所细腻的修正的。
But throughout his shifts and counterattacks,
但是在他的各种的移动和反击，
he remained the movement's most well-known spokesman.
他仍然是新正统运动最著名的代言人。
Since the early years of Barth's initial work,
自从巴特最早的著作的那些早期的时期以来，
Neo-Orthodoxy, or Barthianism, has crossed all national boundaries.
巴特主义或者新正统神学就跨越了各种的国界了。
Its influence in the Far East, for example,
它在远东亚洲的影响
has been very widespread,
是非常的深远的。In Japan, 譬如说在日本，
Barth has been described as a kind of theological pope.
他被形容为一种神学的教皇。
Unlike the situation in America, for instance,
譬如说不像在美国
where Barth has been considered one of the top theologians of this century.
在美国巴特被认为是在本世纪最高的神学家之一。
In Japan, Barth has been regarded as the only theologian.
巴特被认为在日本呢，巴特被认为是唯一的神学家。
Yasuo Furuya, The Influence of Barth on Present-Day Theological Thought in Japan, Japan Christian Quarterly, Volume 30, Number 4, October 1964, Page 262. This German captivity, as Professor Furuya has called it,
福如雅教授称这个作为德国的或者德文对神学的俘虏。
First influenced Japan through the writings of Tokutaro Takahura, 1885 to 1934. 正如弗鲁瓦教授说，这个德文对神学的俘虏呢，首先透过 Tokutaro Takahura 这位作者的著作影响到日本。 Tokutaro 是1885到1930年的，这个影响大概是在1924到25年出现， about 1924 to 1925。 by 1931到了1931年的时候， Brunner's Theology of Crisis had appeared in Japanese translation， 布伦纳的危机神学这本书已经有了日文的翻译版。 And during the early part of this decade， full length appraisals of dialectic theology by Japanese theologians were best sellers inThe theological world. 在那个时代的前几年呢，在日本的神学家对这个辩证神学的一本一本的书的评论已经成为神学世界的最畅销书籍。 And through Japan'sPre-war colonial program， 透过日本在第二次世界大战之前的殖民主义计划， That new orthodox emphasis was planted or at least encouraged in the countries of in her orbit。 那么这个对新正统神学的强调呢，在日本整个的帝国的轨迹里面的国家是被种植下来，至少是被鼓励的。 Korea showed an awareness of the impact of New Orthodoxy in the early years of the 1930s. 在1930年代初，韩国就已经显现出对新正统神学的影响是有所意识到的。 Though it was not until liberation in 1945， 当然要等到1945年韩国的解放，that it began to form any fully vocal part in the main current of Korean theology. 那么新正统神学才成为韩国神学主流的一个带着声音的一个的部分。 Heresy trials in the late 1940s and early 1950s centered around the new orthodox concepts of revelation led by a theological professorand resulted in disciplinary action against the man. 在1940年代末和1950年代初，长老会举行过一些的异端信仰的审讯，围绕着某一位神学教授的新正统的启示观，结果是教会采取了制裁来管教这位教授的。 However, by the late 1960s, 但是到了1960年代末的时候呢， the newly installed president of the theological seminary of the same denomination, 同一个宗派的神学院新任的院长， could write of modern theology as divided into three main streams, 可以这样写道，他说现代神学可以分为三条主流， conservative, liberal, and new orthodox， 保守的、自由派的和新正统的。 And he could add now with certainty， 他现在可以带着肯定的口吻加一句说， I think that the new orthodox position follows the thought of the reformers， 我认为新正统的立场是跟着宗教改革领袖们的思想的， catches fully the ear of modern man's sensitivities， 他也特别敏感于现代人 的意识。 And of the three streams attempting to adhere to orthodox Christian doctrines is the most reasonable， 而当这三条主流都试图 要遵循着正统基督教的教义的时候，新正统是最为合理的。
Read John Song, The Layman and Theology, Seoul Presbyterian General Assembly Education Committee, 1969, pages 14 to 15.
我们的作者继续说，
One must recognize much diversity in a movement.
我们必须认识到这个新正统运动里面是有很多分歧的。
The sharp difference of opinion between Barth and Brunner、over the reality of general revelation and the virgin birth.
巴特和布伦纳就有着非常强烈的辩论，这个是关于普遍启示是否真实的，和耶稣从童贞女所生是否真实的。
The criticisms exchangedbetween Barth and Bultmann,
巴特和布特曼的彼此的批判
,the criticism of Barth's view of history by Pannenberg,
还有潘能博对巴特的历史观的批判
,all these things indicate that there's not always one voice in a movement,
这些事件都指出新正统运动里面不都是异口同声的
,yet, at the same time,
可是与此同时
There is too much of an underlying superstructure to say simply that Barth denies the revelation while Brunner accepts it.
整个新正统运动里面有着一个背后的深层的上层建筑，所以不能够很轻率的就说巴特否认普遍启示布伦纳接受他
or that Brunner denies a virgin birth while Barth accepts it,
或者说布伦纳不承认耶稣是由童贞女所生而巴特接受，不能够这样的很粗略的去理解的。
In an earlier chapter we've indicated some of the presuppositions and methodology of modern theological structure.
我们在前面一章就是第一章已经指出现代神学的架构里面一些的预设和方法。
Our emphasis now must be on the common themes.
那现在我们必须要强调现代神学的一些共同的主题。
And regrettably, we must continue merely to sketch.
很遗憾的，我们只能够继续的做一些的简单的勾画而已。
The model for our sketch will be Barth's series on church dogmatics.
现在我们这个简单素描的、根据就是巴特的教会教义学的系列
now reaching over 8,000 pages.
到目前为止已经超过了8000页英文了
begun in 1932 and unfinished at Barth's death.
1932年开始到巴特去世的时候是还没有完成的，这个是、巴特的教会教义学，也就是卷一第一部分1018年末中文翻译版出版的那一本的巨那一系列的巨著。那下面我们要指出新正统神学的四方面的共同主题，之后呢我们会对他有五方面的批判，我们下一讲继续。